This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870 or send us an email at sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you today, and we're going to talk some Michigan football. Right off the bat, we're going to be chatting with Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press and get his take on the Michigan Wolverines. So let's bring in Mark Snyder. Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Fabulous. How are you doing, Earl?
Okay. Hey, Mark, yeah, we wanted to talk, haven't talked a lot about Michigan this year, but how is the team doing offensively and defensively? What are you going to be looking for when they play Alabama? That's an awful tough game they got to start out with.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be looking at the lines. I think that, you know, they know Denard Robinson can move. They know he's probably improved his throwing. You know, he can run. You know, their secondary is going to be solid, and their linebackers, because they're all returning. The question is really up front on both sides of the ball. That's where they had their biggest losses, and that's where everyone's going to be focused.
Yes. Now, how does it look like Gardner's going to stay at the backup role? Is going from a QB to a wideout?
I think Gardner's going to play both. I think that's what they're figuring out, especially today they start in pads. So I think that's what they're going to spend the next week really focusing on quite a bit, is seeing where he works the best. I mean, if he can play at receiver and make an impact, they're not going to keep him off the field. They're going to have him play there. And if that means fewer snaps at backup quarterback, well, then that's what it'll be. I mean, they trust that the next guy, Russell Bellamy, can do enough for the job, and Gardner can still step in there and do it because he's been in the offense for 18 months. But the question is more about how much he can impact on the field than in just a backup role where he's just standing there.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you next, because is he a good enough, do you believe he's a good enough athlete that he can make the switch to maybe play be permanently at a receiver, or can he still do enough where if Denard gets hurt, they'll have no problem putting him in a QB?
Oh, I think both. I think he's definitely a good enough athlete to play a receiver. You know, Devin can definitely do that and play it well. The question is all the other things going with the receiver to be a full-time receiver. You know, the blocking, the route running, you know, hitting your breaks, all this. You have to be so precise as a receiver, especially in, you know, an offense, especially with Denard, you know, who's still refining his passing game. That's an important part of it. So I think he can do that. But he also, you know, he knows enough about the offense, and he can play quarterback enough that if they need him in a pinch, they can definitely throw him in there.
Okay. Hey, how about the defense? I've heard a lot of things, like you said, about the line on the defensive side of the ball as well.
The defensive line they lost three key players. You know, they lost Will Heininger, they lost Mike Martin and Ryan Van Bergen, all who were impact guys and veterans on the defensive line. So the defensive line will be younger, but it should be quicker. And that's maybe the biggest difference, is that Jabril Black and Craig Rowe are moving to inside positions. Will Campbell is in the middle. He won't be maybe as fast as Martin, but he's bigger, and he may be able to do more and demand because he's bigger. So I think that they're going to see that defensive line, what kind of impact it'll have. Those guys last year, they had a fire, too. They had an intensity to them, and that's something that you don't really know about this group.
And what about the kicking game? You know, they had a lot of troubles in the kicking game last year. How does that look like that's going to be shaping up this year?
Well, their field goals and their extra points were really good with Brendan Gibbons. He rebounded from the year before and had a really good year. Won a couple games, including, you know, the Sugar Bowl with his kicking. The question is more about the punting, where they went back and forth between Will Hagerup and Matt Weil, and they don't really know who's going to have that job this year. And their return game was atrocious. They didn't get anything out of kickoff or punt returns, and they need to get something out of that, because really that's where you break games open, with field position, with the occasional big return, and that's how you can make a difference. They have enough athletes on this team, especially with the couple classes that Hoke's recruited, that they need to get some explosion there, and they need to have impact plays.
I know we've heard a lot about the recruiting over the past few years, how it's so good. But when you look at the team now, how do you look at the backups? Do you see good backup roles, or are they just young and they're still learning to be good college football players?
Well, I think there's more talent in the backup roles, but I think you're right. They're young, and there's going to take some adjustment, especially with the precision that this staff demands, you know, that the players are really on top of everything. And that's one thing that's maybe the hardest thing for young players to learn, is that they demand that you take the steps the right way and you do their technique the right way, instead of just going out there and kind of throwing it around.
Yeah, now, when you look at Brady Hoke and the staff, how do you think they're progressing now going into their second year? Or have you seen any super kind of adjustments, or are they just modifying the things that they did last year?
I think they're just modifying a little bit, because I think that what they did is the first year was all about implementing, and a lot of guys were thinking throughout the spring and then even into the start of the fall. But at the end of the year, they got humming in those last couple of games because everyone is getting more comfortable, the staff and the players and all that. I think that that's maybe the biggest thing. Hoke and coaches and the players so far have said that that's been the best thing about camp. The biggest difference from last year, even though they haven't been in pads, is that there's more of a continuity. They came in, except for the freshmen, knowing what the coaches expected. They know how to be more efficient in practice, and then that's going to make them better because they'll use their time more wisely.
Yes, so it looks like the Wolverines, as we saw, from the media days, it looks like that's probably a pretty good bet that the Michigan has been favored to win the division on that side of the conference. From the Legends division, it looks like they've got a good chance to win that.
Yeah, I guess I think it's going to come down, as everyone expects, the Michigan State game and the Michigan. You know, with Michigan, Michigan State, and Nebraska kind of in their little round robin, and whoever prevails out of that, one team beats the other one twice, and that team's going to win it. And the Michigan State game will be, you know, maybe as much importance this year as any Michigan State game in a long time.
Yeah, I know that Michigan State has won the last four times, and of course Michigan's got it'll be a big home game for the Wolverines, and of course. Brady, no doubt, Brady wants to win that game of all the games, that home game, and break that streak that Michigan State has. Do you see Michigan putting a lot more emphasis on that game, more so than they have in the past?
I don't know about more emphasis. I think that, the Ohio State game is still, where Hoke's from. I mean, he's from Ohio. He talks about it every day. They have the big signs in the facility for that. They have the countdown clock staff. They have one for Michigan State, too, but Ohio State ends all of their meetings and starts their meetings with the chant of Beat Ohio. So that's still the biggest game on their schedule. But Michigan State is pretty close after that. And the fact that Michigan State has beaten them the last 4 years is really the one thing that's sticking in the craw of these Michigan players who have been there the last 4 years, because they know that that's really their obstacle. And that's the difference in them getting to a Big Ten championship game, winning a Big Ten title, beating Michigan State, because they know if they lose that game, that's in them doing those things, which are their primary goals, are not going to happen.
Yeah, now, have you talked to any of the players about, winning that championship and getting through that game? Or, do you just wait till the game comes up and talk about the Michigan State game? Or do you hear them talking about that game and about the Ohio State game?
It's more generalities at this point. They have such a big game with Alabama coming up at the beginning that I think that's drawing a lot of their focus. Once you get through that, Michigan has, all of their landmark games are kind of spaced out this year. You got Alabama at the beginning, Notre Dame 3 weeks later. Then you get into the Big Ten season with Nebraska and Michigan State. And then you got Ohio State at the end. So I think that Michigan, it's going to be a daunting schedule and it's going to be aggressive, but I think that Michigan is going to take the season in chunks and build up each time to one of these big games. So, obviously, if they go to and face Alabama and they play well, even if they don't win, I think that gives them confidence going into the next stretch. If they go and they get their doors blown off, well, then it's going to make for an interesting season.
Yes, Mark, as you know, injuries are so important to everyone and to every team. One of the things that people have been talking about, are concerned about, really, can Michigan get through that Alabama game without many injuries, and I know there's no way of telling that right now, but are you at all concerned that this could be a game where they sustain a lot of injuries going against Alabama?
Well, I don't know if you get more injuries playing against a certain team, but I think that there's a circumstance where karma may be coming around. You know, I think Michigan went through last year, and until the Sugar Bowl, didn't have any major injuries at all. Of course, as Brady Hoke said a couple of times, they couldn't have played another game. You know, if they had to play the next week, they would have just gotten crushed without David Moak and Ryan Van Bergen and maybe Will Heininger. I mean, they would have lost three of their key players who are on the team this year for that next week, so they would have been in real trouble. But I think they got through last year really pretty much, you know, all 11 wins without many issues in terms of injuries, and I think that that's something that, you know, hopefully it's their strength program and that's what's going well, but odds are that they're going to have a couple and they just can't control. They haven't had them yet, but they're coming probably.
Yeah. Yes, Mark, that's the other thing when we look at Michigan or basically out of other college football teams, you know, they did very well last year, winning 11 games. Do you see them doing that well again? I mean, probably so, but, you know, they did very well against the teams they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, and they handled them pretty well. Do you see that same scenario, or do you see them beating them maybe even more handily this year?
Well, you might say that they're supposed to beat them in some of those cases because they're at home, and they're not going to have that luxury this year. Really, the only high-level team that they're going to play at home this year is Michigan State. And that's a big concern of theirs because, I don't know if you're going to throw Iowa into that mix, but, you know, I mean, that's a big concern because, you know, when you have to go to, you know, face Alabama on the road, that's not friendly. You have to go to Notre Dame at night. You have to go to Lincoln at night. You have to play, you know, at Ohio State probably late in the day. You know, that changes everything in terms of whether you're the favorite team or not. I think the last year everything went right. It was a charmed season. You know, they had a new coach, everyone was enthusiastic, everything worked out perfectly, no injuries, and, you know, 8 home games, almost all the big teams at home. You know, I think that was the biggest thing last year. And even the Iowa game, they almost won on the road. I mean, they could have been really 12-1. You know, they were that close to being 12-1. So it was a magnificent season, but to duplicate it, I think, is ambitious at the very least.
Yes, I would say it'll be ambitious, that's for sure. But as you know how coaches are about their team. They're confident that they can win every game. We know Brady's very confident. He's got a good young team. They're getting better. How do you see them getting better at this time of year? I know they haven't had many practices yet, but how do you see this team getting better? In what ways?
I think they're getting better because, as we talked about before, the second year in the system. I think that the more familiar they are with the system, the easier it is for the coaches to implement what they want. I think they're not putting a game plan yet, but I think the guys understand how to watch film. So when it comes time to say, well, here's what Alabama does a certain way, they're going to say, oh, I saw that. I remember that. I noticed that already. You're not starting from scratch with them. I think in the secondary, you know, there's going to be a cohesion because these guys have all played together for a whole year now, and they all came back. They're all healthy, so that's a big part of it, too. The linebackers, same thing. So I think that these are, especially on defense, you know, there's going to be a cohesion in the back. And as the front kind of figures itself out and starts to get comfortable with its roles, back gets comfortable. And I think Denard is going to be better. I think, you know, whether the offensive line will give him time to throw is one thing, but I think he's going to be a better passer. I think that he's spent an incredible amount of time working with that and working with his receivers. And the receivers say the results are showing that he's hitting them with the balls coming out of their breaks instead of having to go get it like last year. So they think that makes a big difference.
Okay. Hey, Mark, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, you know, we'll be talking during the year, talking about the Michigan football. So we'll give you a call later on. But thanks for being on with me today and talking a little bit about Michigan.
No problem, Earl, anytime.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press talking Michigan football right here on AM 870. Well, you know, Aaron, it finally happened. Dwight Howard is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it's funny how quickly that trade, I heard about it yesterday that it might happen. I said, maybe it will, maybe it won't. And then before the night was over, by 9 o'clock, basically, it was a done deal. I mean, I'm still wondering what happened. Why did it happen so quickly? And it looks like the Magic got a lot less for him than what they probably should have.
Yeah, I can't find the button to cue up the music of our of this trade that finally happened. Yeah, I mean, it just felt like it came out of nowhere, didn't it?
It did. It really did.
I mean, they've been trying for so long, and then bam. I mean, you know what just happened? So. Yeah, you're right. It's a heck of a deal, though. I mean, it's, yeah. You know, there's a lot of was it three first round draft picks going to
three protected picks. I mean, they'll get three. There'll be three lower round first round draft picks. They won't be cream of the crop. Top draft picks, but they got three draft picks, so that's they said they wanted to get younger. Well, they're certainly getting younger, that's for sure.
Yeah, they are, and now that Howard's going to be in L.A., well, guess who's going to be predicted to win the championship?
Yeah,
Miami?
Miami
might have a run, you know?
They might. I mean, and of course, you can't leave out, Oklahoma, so they're going to be battling the Lakers now, because with Dwight Howard there and Steve Nash, that really makes them a formidable team.
Yeah, it does, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. I mean, I guess if you're a Lakers fan, you're getting your money's worth.
Yes.
So that's always good.
Yes. Hey, we'll come back. We've got more sports talk. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Lots of new research about Alzheimer's, but might any lead to a cure? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for an Alzheimer's update. Plus, a science schmooze on dark matter and the Higgs. And remember Tom Swift, boy inventor? We do. All on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. A high in the mid-60s with rain today and isolated thunderstorms. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a good chance of more rain, the low 55. Saturday, cloudy and a chance of rain with a high of 70. Mostly sunny and a high of 80 expected Sunday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk. At WKAR.org. Well, Aaron, it certainly was a fantastic night for Usain Bolt. Got to the 200 meters, back-to-back 100 meters and 200 meters for the last two Olympics. So, he certainly set himself up, you know, definitely the world's greatest sprinter, without a doubt. And he's going to wear that title for a long, long time. When you watch him last night, and I got to tell you this, Aaron, if he say came to Michigan or something, I probably wouldn't go watch him run, because he's one of those guys. He puts it all out when he goes, like in the Olympics. You very rarely see him run all out or just run as fast as he can. But in the big meets, he will. He'll do that. But in the other meets, when I saw him in some other meets running, he doesn't really. You know, he gets the guarantee. They got the guaranteed money, so he'll get the guaranteed money, and that'll be it. But he won't have to. He won't put all out. So I'd be very hesitant to see him if he was coming to Michigan to run a race, just because, you know, I know I'm not going to see the best of him or even be close to getting the best of him. So I don't know. But I don't. Would you go see him if he came to you, or would you just how would you view that?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you look at last night's race, I mean, at the last one, I don't know, 5, 10 feet or whatever.
Yeah,
you could tell he's laid off the gas.
Yep.
I mean, he could have his time could have been better.
Oh yes, no doubt about that.
That's the Olympics. That is the top tier. You know, front and center, millions and millions and millions of people watching you for a gold medal for your country.
So
So if he came to Michigan. And I knew that he let up in the Olympics right at the end when granted, he won regardless, so maybe that's irrelevant, but no, I probably wouldn't go watch him. Why, you know, if I know that he's not going to, you know, give his all, you know, and he's still going to win.
Yes,
you know,
that's the thing, because you know that they won't have a field like, and that was against the best field in the world, and he smoked them all. I mean, it really wasn't even close. And if he would say it was coming against to run against a bunch of chumps up here in the state of Michigan or somewhere, or just in track and field, I think I'd be very hesitant to go and set, especially if I had to pay big bucks to see him. I'd be very hesitant to pay that big money to see Usain Bolt. Hey, let's go to the phones. We've got Michael on the line. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing, Earl? I want to say something before I get to ask you some questions about Dan Brownfield. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. he died off Aruba and everything, yes. and I remember calling and asking Terry Foster how he was doing and everything, and I'm really sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, very tragic events around that. He was trying to say it did save his wife, and he got drowned. It caught under some leaves, some of the debris there off the island of Aruba.
Okay. Carlisa Shields, I was telling you, too, that people were saying that they couldn't watch the fight, but if you watch CNBC,
right.
You could have caught the fight. I caught the fight yesterday around about 4:30, or they was going to the pre, you know, how they build up the fight about talking about how to where she was, how a trainer was training her family and everything else. But I saw the fight almost in its entirety. I didn't know that the women's boxing was in four rounds and they have 2 minutes each.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that sport has got some potential. It'll probably grow, you know. It depends, though, on the factor that the contact and contact and everything, but I guess it's a pretty good Olympic sport. Here's what I want to talk to you about. The Olympics is almost over now, but I was talking about some of the track and field events. Did you get was any of that was in entirety? Was it shown live or is always always on tape?
Yeah, they did show some events live for sure, but a lot of it was on tape. But, yeah, they showed a lot of events live if you caught it at the right time.
Okay. I heard that Jason Richardson's going to get traded again to Philadelphia this time.
Yeah, he's gone to Philadelphia now.
And Andrew Bynum and everything. Yep. I assume that the reason why they acquired Bynum, the 76ers did, is because they needed some size.
Well, they probably did, for sure. But, of course, you know, it was all about around Dwight Howard, him going to the Lakers. So that was part of the whole deal. And with going from the Lakers and Jason going from Orlando.
And you got to realize Philadelphia did give Iguodala.
Yeah, he went to Denver. So
I was just thinking, I mean, if Jason Richardson been traded like four times?
Something like that, yes. Four or five times, somewhere in there.
I wonder, because in other sports, like in football, for instance, they don't trade you around that often. And in baseball, they do. But in basketball, he's still relevant because he keeps being traded and everything. He's like Lamar Odom to me. He keeps getting going to different team. So
yeah, he's been very productive. That's why, you know, people want him. As long as you remain a productive player, somebody's going to want you. If he ever started to, you know, start just scoring 4 to 5 points a game, he wouldn't be in the league very long.
All right, this is my last question before I let you get on with other callers here. Why high school football starting so early? Does it start next week, or that's just the preview?
The preview's basically next week, but they'll be starting more than likely the week after for most of them.
All right, then. I'm going to watch the rest of the Olympic basketball.
Okay.
Move it along.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yes, then the Olympic, both the men and women are headed for gold, and that's one thing I meant to bring up today, Aaron. You know, the basketball and the other sports, the also track and field and those, what we've seen is now that Title IX really helped women's sports. I know a lot of guys were really against it when it first happened. I wasn't one of those that was really against it. I knew that it was good for women's sports and that they would grow from there. And they're really starting to see it. You know, it's taken time for it to get to Olympic style, but the women are really proving and playing well in the Olympics. I mean, you look at the women's soccer team, won their third Olympic medal. So it's really been good for women's sports and in all sports and women's sports. You've seen the growth of women in all sports just getting better because of Title IX. So, yeah, get your comment on that. I'm pretty sure you have something to say about that Title IX.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's definitely helped women's sports. You know, I still don't think women's sports is where it needs to be. I don't know if it'll ever get there, though. Yeah. Frankly,
well, when you're trailing by 100 years,
yeah,
men's sports been around since 1900 or so, amateur sports, and so yeah, so yeah, they got a ways to go to catch up.
Right, and you know, one thing too is I saw an article the other day about how the U.S. women's basketball team, you know, just dominates just year after year, and they're, you know, Olympics, whatever, and you know, they talked about how, well, no one is talking about them. Well, sure, they've been dominant, but the reality is the competition has been so poor that, you know, there's what's there to talk about? Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing that's not against the women. It's just the competition.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. And that's an issue that people have brought up a lot with women's sports is the competition isn't as great. But I think it's getting much, much better, much better. I mean, I would even say, I mean, I'm a young guy, but I would even say within the last 5-10 years, the competition in women's sports has gotten, as far as the U.S. is concerned, I don't know about international,
yes,
has gotten much better, especially at the college level. You know, I feel, you know, they're pushed harder a lot more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the men have always been, I think, pushed much more harder than the women. But I think the women are realizing that they can be competitive and be really good at it. So it's good to see. I think eventually, hoping that they'll get the attention that they deserve, because a lot of them do put in a lot of hard work and they don't get the attention. But you know, that's kind of how society, you know, kind of is. But you know, we've seen plenty of things change in this world, so hopefully that's one of them.
Yes, and that's the thing, because women really don't have the opportunities to play further on as pros. I mean, they do have the WNBA, and they've got the pro golf tour. But after that, there's not many sports that women can move up and move on and play like the men can, a lot of sports. So, you know, I think it's going to get better. Just the amateurs are going to get better and better, which is going to help me, the United States when it games like the Olympic Games and the World Games and such that. I see them getting better and better. But right now, let's take another call. We've got Mr. Tate in Atlanta. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Robinson?
Okay.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, man. I'm ecstatic, as you can imagine, as a big basketball fan about this trade. I just want to run over a couple things. First of all, I'm not a fan of stacked teams by any means, but one of my biggest questions is if the Lakers – if they don't win in their very first year, because not everybody is a Boston Celtics kind of team where you take, you know, take the big three and then put them in there and they win in their very first year. Miami even had a big issue with, you know, trying to accomplish the same goal in their very first run, which they eventually lost to Dallas. But, you know, would you not be surprised, you know, if this LA Lakers team did not win it in the first in their very first go? And not only that, but I think what is a bigger concern is their bench, where in the playoffs you will need to rely on that bench a little bit more, as we've seen the Miami Heat do. Yeah, they've got Jordan Hill and Steve Blake, Antoine Jameson, Matt Barnes, whatever, but you know, we're looking over other teams too fast, and we're looking at the Lakers. Now, are they the front runners to win the whole thing right in there with Miami? Of course, but you have a loaded Clippers team here. You have the Spurs experience and their history, you know, and their success in the postseason. I don't know if giving up on Dallas with only being 1 year removed away from a championship is a good idea or not, but nevertheless, they did pick up some key pieces with Elton Brand and Darren Collison. Hey, the Miami Heat and the New Jersey Nets. I mean, when you're looking at their front five, I mean, they may not have much of a bench just like L.A., but just looking at their front five right off the back. And then are we overlooking the Oklahoma City Thunder a little bit too fast? I think it's moving so fast. Most people just hear the big names. And, of course, yeah, you know, they're going to put these big name guys. They're going to put them together. They're going to win games, a lot of games. The experience is going to push them over. Gasol, Nash is going to get Gasol, you know, in a little bit tougher. Put him in a position, especially with the pick and roll, maybe if he can come out a little bit and pick and pop. So I just wanted to run those couple things over to the listeners and even to you, Mr. Robinson. So many people saying Lakers, Lakers, Lakers automatically. I don't think it's going to be that easy, although I do think that they will win. It won't surprise me if they don't. Thank you so much, Mr. Robinson, for taking my call. That's Tate's take right there. Thank you so much, man.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sort of like you. I don't believe the Lakers are going to win. I think you said you thought they would win it. I don't think the Lakers will win it. I just think basically they're too old. I mean, you know, you got Steve Nash, 38. You've got Kobe, 35. You know, and Dwight Howard still in his prime. But, you know, when you got two of your key players like that are so old, and Meta World Peace is pretty old as well. So they've got a lot of veterans on the team. And, yes, they'll win just because they have a lot of experience. Now, I'm going to be very interested to see how Mike Brown plays his rotation. Because, like you say, it will be very big on how and they're going to the reserves are going to have to play a lot. They're going to have to get a lot out of the reserves. So what kind of reserves they have, that'll be interesting to see. Can they take up some games when the Lakers say go out to a good lead? And can the reserves play the rest of the game? It's a long season, 82-game season. If through the regular season before the playoffs even start, I'm really concerned that they'll just play that well, or they don't run out of gas by the time the playoffs get here, because that's a lot of games they'll have to play. It's a lot of planes they'll have to fly on, and a lot of airports they'll got to see. But I'm not that sure that the Lakers can win and win it all just because of the age factor. That's an older team. It should be a good team, but we'll just have to wait and see on how they play during the year. The time, 35 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. WKAR heads to the MSU Museum's Great Lakes Folks Festival. This weekend, we'll be hosting the Dance Tent in the Albert Street parking lot on Friday, August 10th through Sunday, August 12th. So come and kick up your heels with us. And while you're there, stop by our tent near the dance stage and look for our street team. The Folk Festival offers terrific music from around the world and three festival stages, along with cultural exhibits, a traditional art marketplace, international food vendors, and more. Best of all, it's all free, and we'll see you there this coming weekend. For more information, visit WKAR.org. Now, I'll be hosting the announcing the events at one of the stages from 1 to 5 o'clock on Sunday. So that's make sure you get over to the Great Lakes Folk Festival. It's a lot of fun. It comes your way each and every year, and WKAR will be there hosting any events. Hey, the time, 37 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. So Aaron, what did you think about what Mr. Tate said about the Lakers and them? I'm not so sold that trade will help them that much. And let's face it, Dwight Howard has already said he's going to play out, which if I was in his shoes, I would play out my options to be a free agent as well. So he's going to play out his option. He says he's not going to sign with the Lakers right away. He's going to wait and see how the year progresses to even consider the Lakers signing. So that'll be good to see. And you know, he's recovering from injuries. And how does he respond from all the injuries that he's had over the years?
Yeah, no, they will not win the championship. The Lakers will not win the championship. I mean, we saw it with Miami. I mean, you know, they didn't win it the first year.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have never, you know, you got Nash and Howard, you know, coming to the team. They've never played with Kobe Bryant before. Maybe they have. I don't, you know, maybe the Olympics or something like that. But, you know, it's not like they all know each other's, you know, things and, you know, their little, you know, nuances and those kind of things. But, you know, granted, they're professionals. They pick up on those things rather quick. But, yeah, you're right. I just don't think they're going to be ready. I think the age will catch up to them. Granted, they had a shortened season last year, so maybe that'll help it coming into this season. But, you know, they have a nice long off season, so that might not even be a factor. But, yeah, I just don't expect them to win the championship. Who will win it? Well, it's way too early for that.
Yes, and that's the thing. The other thing, what we've already heard, Dwight Howard is not going to be probably ready to play until January. So if that's the case and he's not ready to play till January, that's going to be, they're going to have to just wait and see, because if he's not ready to play until then, that's going to put a little bit of damper on them winning the title if he's not ready to play till around January. So, hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
While the world watched the Olympics, the Mars rover nailed the dismount. I'm Ira Plato. Join me on Science Friday as we talk about what lies ahead for Curiosity. Plus, it's our Science Friday book club. We're talking about Monkey Mind, a memoir of anxiety. Call in with your review. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 3 o'clock right here on WKAR.
Rain is likely with isolated thunderstorms. Our high today, 65 degrees. Overnight, our low will be 55, and it'll be mostly cloudy. There's a good chance of continuing rain. Cloudy with a chance of rain for Saturday, the high 70 tomorrow, and we'll have a high of 80 with mostly sunny skies Sunday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now let's bring in our good friend Tim Stout from WILX-TV and talk a little sports with Tim. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Good, thanks, Earl. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I sort of want to know, because I know you've been a big Tiger Woods fan, how do you think he's going to do over the weekend? He's got off to a good start so far.
Well, I'm looking at the TV screen right now. The wind's blowing like crazy. In fact, is that him right there? Oh, no, that's McIlroy. The wind's blowing like crazy today off the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, it is really blowing hard, and I think it's going to be far more difficult for those playing this afternoon to come anywhere close to what they did yesterday. However, the one thing that has always been a struggle for him over the years is to get off to a good start in a major. Now this year he's done better in the early part, struggle on a weekend, but if he can hang in there, you know, he has a tremendous sense of resolve to win this last major of the year, because, you know, Father Time is catching up with all these guys, and he's 35 now, and you know, he knows he's right in the hunt. But again, when the wind blows on a major course like this, now you're going to need some luck, and you have to avoid bad luck, and it's going to be obviously difficult for all these players this afternoon, because it's just going to be tougher to get the ball to go, toward the greens like they did yesterday when it was a lot more calm.
Yes, that's one thing we've seen with Tiger over the years. He hasn't been able to finish, like you say, strong on Sundays and sometimes for the whole weekend. What do you see? Why do you think that's happened so much? You play good the 2 days. It just seems like he can't put four days together anymore.
Well, if he had that answer, he'd figure it out. He's played better this year, frankly, on balance than what I thought. He's won three times. I was surprised to read earlier this week that he has the lowest scoring average per 18 holes on tour this year. I'm surprised to learn that. But he's played better, and he certainly has a sense of resolve that he feels that he should, be in there winning these things yet. I think this is a very difficult golf course that he's playing. I think obviously he wants to be in the hunt, take his chances Saturday and Sunday. He always likes to get to Sunday and see what can happen. The British Open surprised me a bit because he did have some good rounds there, and then they just disappeared. Usually when he gets into trouble, though, he just doesn't putt the ball very well. And I think part of his putting problem is because his wedge play has not hit the ball close enough to the hole that the putts that he does get are makeable realistically. When he was in his prime and winning 7-8 times a year, his wedge play was so good that he knocked the ball in close so many times that he almost, the hole would get in the way of his, the putts. Well, that's changed, and what used to be birdies are now pars, and so shooting low rounds for him has been tough. But, he scrambled pretty well yesterday and made a few, and obviously these greens seem to agree with him yesterday. But I do think the wind today is going to knock everybody's score up 3 or 4 shots of what it was yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the score should be a lot higher, because if the wind is blowing, like you say, that's going to make that course so much tough. I mean, I was reading about it and heard you talking about it. Well, this is a tough course. As you know, I sort of like to watch the golfers try to maneuver and get through these tough courses like this. I think they should be playing more on tougher courses, like more courses over in Europe. So to me, this is an ideal course for him to play on.
Well, that's what Tom's with me here. He says the same thing that you say. I mean, I'm looking at the apparel on these players and the win. I mean, the apparel, is blowing mightily. I mean, the wind is really, really blowing hard there today. Well, you know, over 4.5 to 5 hours of this, it's just going to wear you down. You just can't make any mistakes. But I think they all are, and nobody was going low this morning either. So, you know, the guy who shot 6 under yesterday, Peterson, he hasn't teed off yet. McIlroy hasn't. I guess McIlroy just left. And let's see, I'm looking for Woods here because I got the scoreboard. Oh, no, he hasn't started yet either. He goes at 140 or right about that time, and they may be a little bit behind too. So, hey, stay tuned. If you want to see him struggle, if you think it's a struggle for us, these guys got to go through the same thing today and maybe all weekend too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They may have to. Hey, you know, I know you've been following the Olympics and everything, but what Usain Bolt has done in the last two Olympics and dominate the way he did, that's so impressive. He's no doubt he's labeled himself or made himself as the world's greatest sprinter. So I was very impressed that he won. I got told Aaron here that I wouldn't go see him if he came to Michigan and for a big match race or something. I doubt if I'd go see him because, you know, he puts out in the big events like the Olympics, but he doesn't do that well in the other events, just say an ordinary race or a race with a few people that might be pretty good. So I probably wouldn't go see him, but I definitely like him on the world stage when he's going to perform, and he's going to perform at his best.
Well, see, that's where we're different. Mm-hmm. If I got a chance to see the world's fastest human being just walking down the streets, good enough for me. I think winning both those sprints at 4 years apart in a world where, you know, the sprints are pretty popular, that's pretty impressive. I don't know all that God gave him and the way his muscle structure is. And I don't know how you get speed, but he's got speed. I know that. And nobody else has that kind of speed. So, you know, I wish I could kind of take it easy going in and beat everybody else in the world for you, you know, twice in 4 years. That's
yes,
pretty good.
It is. And he, you know, the way he is, he just eases up at the end. He has such a big lead. I mean, he is so dominant. You know, I thought it was funny they were asking who is the most dominant athlete, Michael Phelps or him. And Elvis. It's really hard to compare guys from two different sports, isn't it? I didn't think that was even a valid question, but they're both certainly the greatest athletes of their own individual sport. But I don't know how you cross compare the two.
Well, they're probably neither one quite as good as they were 4 years ago, but they're still pretty darn good. And you know, in Phelps' case, he had trying to duplicate what he did 4 years ago was going to be difficult in the first place. I mean, in all honesty, it's a lot easier to win 20 medals in swimming than it is in basketball, because in basketball you don't have 7 events like you do in swimming. I mean, Mark, the guys that win all the medals win them in track and swimming because there's more events for them that they can compete in, whether they're relays or the 100, 200, 400, whatever it is, okay? But nonetheless, 20 medals is 20 medals or whatever he's got.
Yes.
And, in Bolt's case, you know, speed kills, and with all the events they have, he takes advantage of them. I like watching them. My favorite event and all that's 100 meters, because if you blink, you'll miss it.
Yep.
But you've got the 8 fastest guys in the world going at it. That's pretty good. You don't see that very often, and certainly you don't see it very long either.
No, that's for sure. Hey, Tim, I know we got to talk about those Tigers. I mean, I don't know. I've always thought, and I still believe, they're going to win their division. I still think they're going to win that, but I'm just not sure because, you know, they seem to come up cropper sometime against the very good teams, and that has me concerned. But I still think somehow, I know they finished with Kansas City and Minnesota, so I think they're still going to win the division. How do you feel about this Tiger team?
I think they'll win the division. I don't think they can win the World Series. I think they have 3 good enough starting pitchers, but I don't think they have enough strength in the bullpen to get it done. And I think when it comes down to winning, at the very end, you got to have monsters out of the bullpen.
Yes.
I just think they have that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, Valverde's been very disappointing this year. He's been okay for the most part, but he certainly isn't the dominant pitcher that he was last year. And, you know, they're going to need a dominant. They don't have a dominant pitcher. And I know that's one of the hardest things to do, to pick up a quality starter or a quality bullpen player, especially near the end of the year. So you think they probably just have to go with what they've got, don't they?
Well, and I don't think their setup guys are that good either.
Yeah.
I don't think Benoit's good enough, and Dotel, sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. I mean, when you get into the playoffs, does that mean the fourth and fifth starters, guys like Porcello or those middle relief guys? I mean, I think they have enough ingredients to, because I don't think there's any really good team out there, frankly. I think there's a couple of teams that are better than others, but I don't think anybody's dominant. But again, when it gets down to the end, I just think you got to have guys that can finish games in the eighth and ninth inning, and I don't know that they've got that if they get all the way to the end.
Yes, and that other thing, I don't think they've got enough hitters. I mean, we know the two big guns. You know, they're great. They've been outstanding all year long, but the rest of that lineup, they've been so inconsistent. So that's another reason why I don't think they'll win it. I think they can win the division, but I just don't think they have enough hitting to, like you say, to get to the World Series.
Well. Getting Dierks back, I think, helps him. If Peralta hits like he has the last week or so, that helps him, obviously. If Jackson stays out, that helps him. If Avila hits a couple like he has, that helps him. But like you say, they had won all those games, and then they gave away a couple to the Yankees there at the end. Is that going to happen with someone else? I don't think the White Sox are good enough to last 50 games against them, but you never know. But when you got expanded playoffs like you do this year, that makes it easier for more teams to get in. So I think they'll get in, but I don't know if they're going to. I don't know that they'll get to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, this is so far from when you and I grew up. I mean, the World Series was just the playoffs before you even had a playoff. Just the winning teams, whoever won the division, they play each other, and then you'd be in the World Series. So, I mean, it's really I don't know. I don't really like these expanded and they diluted the playoffs so much. They're trying to be. More like football like basketball and some of the other sports, but I think they've just diluted baseball because they've diluted that regular season so much so far.
Well, the team with the winningest record, which has now lost four in a row, is Cincinnati. Then it's hard for me to believe that Cincinnati is the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
I fear the Angels the most because they added Zach Greinke, and I think the waiver trade deadline is still going to give teams a chance to make a move beyond significantly where they are to who that is. And that could be the Tigers, for that matter. But I think it's too hard for the Tigers to get a closer. At this date on waivers, closers aren't there. They might find somebody on the waivers that can help them someplace else, but I doubt it would be a closer. To me, the Angels have the best chance, and the Yankees in the American League. The National League to be is up for grabs. I just can't picture Cincinnati making it all the way to the end. But they have the best record, even though they've lost four in a row. So there's a lot of teams out there in the National League probably figure they still got a shot.
Yeah, no, I heard you this morning talking a little bit about that Dwight Howard trade. I know I was surprised that it happened so quickly. I mean, it's like we've been hearing about maybe a trade all year long, and I heard about the trade yesterday, earlier in the day, and then that night it was completed. I mean, it was really quite surprising that they were able to wrap it up so fast, and it looks like Orlando definitely didn't get enough for Dwight Howard.
Well, yes and no. First of all, there were four teams involved, so that's complicated. What Dwight Howard are you getting? Are you getting a guy who doesn't like to play, is unhappy where he is, and is a malcontent, is a problem to deal with every day like he was in Orlando? Or are you getting rid of it? I mean, he was never going to be happy in Orlando again.
Right.
So to me, for them, it's addition by subtraction. In the Lakers' case, I mean, is he going to pout? Is he going to bemoan? Is he going to make the coach's life miserable? Or is he going to play to his ability and contribute to them being a better team? Stay tuned.
Yeah, because in fact, he's hurting. They say he probably won't be ready to play until January, so we're going to have to wait even longer. If that's the case, he's still recovering from that back injury, and he may not be ready to play. Hopefully, if he does comes back in then, that we'll get to see the chance of seeing the best Dwight Howard. But like you say, it's no telling what kind of Dwight Howard will we see if he doesn't come back until January.
Well, I want to wish Mike Brown luck as a coach because he's had a deal with Metal World Peace and Dwight Howard. Both those guys tend to complain, and that's if Kobe's not griping about something.
Yeah.
And if they don't win, then the fans and the media and everybody else is on him. So, I mean, they hired that guy. They fired him in Cleveland because he couldn't win the whole thing with LeBron. Now he's got these guys, and you got two lightning rod personalities in quote-unquote Metal World Peace and Dwight Howard.
Oh, yes, you do. Hey, we got to talk a little bit about the Olympics before we let you go. We know Jordan Weber, congratulations. Winning the gold medal and coming back. And also Clarissa Fields. I mean, it was nice of her to win a gold medal in boxing. We hadn't had women's boxing before, so this was very special that she was able to get a gold medal in boxing and, out of Flint. So it's very good for her and definitely good for the city of Flint. And you had two athletes that had great success in their sports and both been around. They're both young. That's the thing. Both young athletes and were able to get a lot of success in the Olympics this year.
Well, if they're bullies at Flint Northwestern High School, don't pick on her.
That's right.
She's pretty tough. I mean, I like the way they sound the bell or whatever, and the two just come flying out of the corners for four rounds and just wail on each other. You know the sport. I don't know the sport, but I guess what you get points by the haymakers, Yolanda, and she's pretty good at it. And at 17, she looks older than 17 to me. She clearly was better than the. I saw the fight last night. But I like her short. Doesn't go long. She had to fight Wednesday, and then she had to fight Thursday. So good for her. She's a Flintstone. She's one of the tougher Flintstones. I know that. Don't mess with her.
Oh, you got that right, my friend. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on with me and talking sports with me, as always. You know, we'll talk during this long football season because it's getting ready to start. It'll be up on us pretty soon. So, hey, I'll talk to you during the football season. But we're going to have a long, long season, as you know, coming up.
All right, good. Have a good weekend.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Tim. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Tim Stout from WILX-TV talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Aaron, as you know, this football season is getting ready to start. It's going to be a long, long season. I know we've been running stuff from practices and such already, but are you ready for some football?
I guess I'm as ready as I can be. I mean, we've been talking about it since it ended last year. So really, I don't think we've had an off season for football.
Yeah, we really haven't.
No.
Hey, and I got to give you, because a lot of people didn't get a chance to see all of that, the Washington game last night. So let me give you Kirk Cousins' numbers. Kirk was 9 for 22, 74 yards passing, and one interception. He averaged 3.4 yards on his pass play. So 9 for 22 for Kirk Cousins. Of course, RG3 was he only was in for 14 plays. He was completed 4 of 6 passes for a little bit longer yards. His average passes were like for 7.4 yards. So he had his passes were long. He had one long pass that really helped him in an 80-yard drive. So very good for RG3. So he got off to a good start. And Kirk, I guess, you know, he's still learning too a lot. So, you know, it's pretty clear that Kirk, unless RG3 gets hurt sometime during the year, he'll probably be sitting on the bench quite a bit. But, hey, he's got a chance to be a pro, and he can be a pretty good one or a backup as well. But we'll just have to keep a look and see how he does in that. I try to catch just glimpses from some of the other teams. Did you see any of the other highlights from the games?
No, I didn't see any of the other highlights. Lions play tonight, right?
Yeah, they play tonight.
Yeah, who do they play?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, all right. Is that away or home?
I believe home, and it should be on the tube there tonight.
Right, yeah, I believe it is. No, I didn't catch any of the other games, but, you know, Cousins, Cousins' stats, those aren't terrible.
Yeah, not bad.
You know, I've seen much worse.
Yep.
If you're a Lions fan, you've definitely seen much worse, even when during the regular season. So, I think that kind of game is where you just get your feet wet. Get your feet wet. Don't worry about the numbers. Just go out there, you know, kind of analyze, see how things are, and then, look at the film and then go from there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And yeah, so I saw a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay game against San Diego, and he wasn't too bad. He got hit pretty good one time and threw up an interception on when he got hit. But from that, the other games, I saw a little bit of Atlanta, and they had their quarterback did play pretty well. So we saw, you know, we didn't see anything. I don't think anybody probably played. They definitely didn't play to the end of the first quarter, but for two or three series, for the most part, the starters played in the very first exhibition game. And some of the starters looked pretty good. Peyton Manning didn't look too bad. He was in for about 14, 15 plays. He was pretty sharp. And so it looks like if Peyton can stay healthy, he could have a very good year.
Yeah, I mean that's it. That's his thing. That's really the only concern. If he stays healthy, he should have a good season. I'm sure he's going to have to work out a couple cobwebs, but he's got plenty of experience where those will go away pretty quick. But if he stays healthy, I mean, case closed. I think he has a good season. He's too good. And, I mean, it's not, you know, Denver's not a bad team. They're
no,
a good
they're
team.
Not.
So. You know, they got a good running name, got good defense, so they're good in all phases, I think.
Yep. Hey, well, let me tell the folks before we get out of here, WKAR heads to the MSU Museum's Great Lakes Folk Festival this weekend. We'll be hosting the dance tent in the Albert Street parking lot on Friday, August 10th, through Sunday, August 12th. So come and kick up your heels with us, and while you're there, stop by our tent near the dance stage and look at our street team. The Folk Festival offers terrific music from around the world on three festival stages, along with cultural exhibits, additional arts marketplace, and international food vendors, and more. Best of all, it's all free. We'll see you there this coming weekend. For more information, visit WKAR.org. Now, I'll be toasting one event at the 10th from 1 to 5 o'clock on Sunday. So hope to see you there on Sunday afternoon at the Great Lakes Folk Festival. I want to thank you all for listening and calling, and we'll be back on Monday. And on Monday, you'll hear Dave Perkett talk about the Lions and review the first game from the Detroit Lions coming up tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling, and make sure you come back on Monday. You can join us from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.